Okay, we have a few prayer requests this morning. Okay, the first one, I would like prayer for Kaylin and Natasha. They are my bonus daughters. Awesome. Glory to God. They are both in rehab. Kaylin has 180 days clean, and Natasha is going on 2 weeks.
Awesome.
And then let's pray for Connor in Texas. He had to have his appendix out yesterday.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then let's pray for Sandra Steelman in Texas, who's been having some health issues.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Father God, we just count it a privilege that we can come to you before you, God, and raise up the needs of other people, brothers and sisters before you. Lord, we pray for Kaylin and Natasha. Father God, that as they are in rehab, Lord, we thank you, God, for Kaylin being 180 days clean and for Natasha going on 2 weeks. Lord, we thank you for what's already being done. Lord, we thank you for what they're doing. And Lord, we thank you for the testimony, Lord, that's going to be even greater, Lord. We thank you that these numbers, God, are going to increase, Lord. That the days and weeks will become months and years, God. Hallelujah. Father God, we just pray for strength. Lord, strengthen them, Lord. Lord, continue to guide them, draw them unto yourself, Lord. We just pray for strength, Lord. We just take, we break the spirit of addiction. Lord, we just, Lord, we break this need for drugs, this desire for drugs, Lord. Lord, that they won't even crave it, Lord, after this, Lord. We just thank you for what you're doing in their lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Connor in Texas, Lord, that had to have his appendix out. Lord, we just pray for quick healing, Lord, that there would be no infection, that there would be no side effects, and that, Lord, that he would be up and moving in no time. Lord, we pray for Sandra Steelman, Lord, that's had some health issues. Lord, you know those issues, but Lord, you also know that every one of those conditions were victory was won at the cross. And so, Lord, we just speak that truth over her body this morning. Lord, we command her body to line up to the will and the promises of God concerning healing. And from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And can we go ahead and say a prayer for Michelle Harper? Yes. Her and Kaylin are actually tuned in this morning from Ray's house out in Muskogee, Oklahoma.
Awesome. And her name's Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Michelle Harper.
Amen.
I don't know all her information. I don't know how many days, weeks, or months she's got clean. But I know that she
Amen.
Is putting forth the effort. So I know God is with her.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for Michelle joining in as well this morning. Lord, we Lord, just like we pray, Lord, we pray for her strength, God. We pray for her deliverance, Lord. Lord, that she would just God, just move, keep moving forward, keep moving mountains. Father God, that her days and weeks and months would become years as well. And Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for her. And Lord, I just pray that she would feel that love day in and day out as she's going on this journey, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And she posted she's got over 6 months clean.
Awesome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Okay, y'all. Prophetic Voice Ministry is located at 616 North Locust Avenue. They are our Facebook sponsor today. Yes. And Apostle Casey Elliott is our guest.
Yes.
And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can reach out to Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They're also one of our Facebook sponsors. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Good job.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more. They just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269 or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Love your ride. Today at Bardice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters, we know that loving your ride means taking care of it. Our service team is here to keep your vehicle running its best, from oil changes to tires and everything in between. With the largest team of certified technicians in Western Oklahoma, let us show your ride some love today. Come experience the Bardice and difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BardiceandFord.net.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Amen. Our guest today is Apostle Casey Yellett from Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City. His title for today is Staying Connected. And I'm telling you, that is so important. Once you surrender, and once you make that decision to give your life to Christ and to ask Christ to come to live in you, it is so important that you stay connected, because there you're going to have a pull. Yes. And the way I see it is you're going to be pulled.
Yes.
You got God up here. You got Jesus up here pulling you. Come on, come on, yeah. Come on. I got you. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And then you got the enemy, the devil on this side saying, no, yeah. no, it's a trick. It's
yeah.
a lie.
Yeah. Come back.
Come back here. You can't go there. I want you with me in hell. I don't want to be in hell alone.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And he wants to bring your friends and buddies with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. He wants to see how many people he can get you to bring with you.
Amen. And, you know, that's exactly what I was about to talk about. Thank you, Lord. It reminded me something, actually, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Is that, you know, sometimes you're going to say something, you forget what you're going to say. And then, so that was a reminder.
Okay.
One thing that comes with disconnect, not only will your fruit suffer, but, you know, Not only is the vine our life source, but he's our power source.
Come on.
He's our power source. And so, you know, there's a thing, you know, if you ever own a house and you pay an electric bill, if you forever forget to pay your electric bill, guess what? You're going to get a letter in the mail saying with something called a disconnect notice. Look, you there. And what happens?
Good job.
Your power goes out.
Come on.
You lose power. And so... you know, and again, you can feel the power for a while, but sometimes the power goes all the way out, but sometimes the lights get dimmed, you know, and then they go out. But, you know, you begin to lose that power that God has given us. And so, you know, that's another thing I was just telling God the other day. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I just feel like I've just been feeling disconnected. I said, I've notice my anointing suffering as well.
Come on.
And, but thank God, a lot of people are afraid to drive right now because of gas prices. But I can tell you right now, that drove I had Sunday morning was the best drove I ever had. And, the Lord, you know, the Lord spoke two things. He said, there's a disconnect among the body. And also, enemy has released the spirit of intimidation among the body of Christ. And, you know, using what happened with us as an example, you know, everything's going good. You're on the mountaintop and you call a fast. And within hours, out of nowhere, everybody's getting sick. Everybody's, you know, and it's just bombardment after bombardment. And so now what happens is the people are intimidated. They're intimidated to pray. They're intimidated to read their word. They're intimidated to fast because they're afraid of what's going to, of what the enemy's going to do. Man, if I get down on my knees and pray, what's the enemy going to do to me? You know, if I open up my word and read my word, what's the enemy going to do? If I fast, what's the enemy going to do? You know, if we already called a fast and he came in here and everybody got sick, you know, what else can he do? You know, and our minds begin to focus on that. Not what God can do, but what the enemy can do. And, you know, now all of a sudden in our minds we're entertaining the quote-unquote power of the enemy rather than focusing on the power of God. And, you know, the enemy wants you to forget that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Mm. And so, you know, the Lord told me, he said, you know, we had a speaker that came a week ago on Sunday. And he said, I was driving here, and he said, the Lord gave me one word for you, apostle. And I said, what is it? And he said, submit. Mm. Submit. And then he told the people, he said, some of y'all are going to think y'all know what it is, but y'all don't. But I know exactly what it was. And, you know, you, and so I knew what he meant. The Lord said, get resubmitted, and the Lord said, so when I was driving, I told the Lord, I said, I know exactly what that word was. And, the Lord said, your submission will come through a yes. And I was in my truck going, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Because let me say something. When you know what you're called for, when you know what God commissioned you for, when you know your place, when you know your anointing, you know your position, and you get into a season and an environment that ain't what it, you know, sometimes that can be harder and worse than the very thing that got you there. So you think the warfare that you were going through that got, you know, that the enemy used to disconnect you from the enemy, you think that was bad. Being stuck in a season of, you know, feeling out of place, feeling out of character, feeling out of, you know, operation, that's worse than what you went through to get there. And, but the Lord said your submission will activate reconnection. And so I was in my truck going, yes, God, yes, God, yes, Lord. And in that moment, I could just feel God just pulling me back into place, bringing me out of that junk, that time of, you know, that I've been in for the last 2 months. And, you know, I could just feel my power coming back. And, you know, so many times, I think it's human nature, God will speak a word to us, and then we automatically start strategizing, well, how do I get there? What do I have to do to, you know, make that happen? But, you know, so many times, if we just give God a yes, he's the one that just reaches down and pulls us out of that place. You know, there's that song said, he picked me up and turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. You know, just that yes to God, you know, he just brought everything back in place. And, you know, I told God, you know, I told him, I said, there's a reason that the enemy that wanted us disconnected is because of that loss of power. You know, yes, the anointing's great, but it's not for us to keep to ourselves. And so if the enemy can rob you of your anointing and of your power, then he knows, hey, I got free range to do what I want to. But I told him this morning, or I told him Sunday morning, I said, there's a reason God called me to this drive this morning. And I said, it's because of the anointing needing to be restored. I said, because God's going to do something today. And about halfway through the service, we have a lady that came in, and she had been diagnosed with, or she's been fighting diabetes, and she had went to an eye specialist last week, and they told her that her eyesight was 70% damaged. Vision was blurry. She was seeing floaters and stuff, and couldn't drive at night. And she was sitting in the pew, and I was fixing to pray for another lady. And I just happened to look over, and the Lord said, I'm fixing to heal her eyesight. And so I told the lady I was supposed to pray for, I said, hold on a second. Because when God reveals something concerning healing, he's wanting to do it right then. I said, come here, ma'am. And she just confirmed everything God had shown me about her eyesight and stuff. And so prayed for her. And when she went down, the Lord said that brought it to a 40. You know, sometimes, you know. And I said, pick her back up. And laid hands on her again. When she went down, the Lord said, it's at a 1. I said, pick her up one more time. And we prayed for her one more time. When she got up, she was just like, wow. And it was so amazing because last week, the doctor, he said, I'm going to start doing some injections in your eyes. But before she left, he said, I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to wait and reschedule you. And what's amazing is before he had stepped out, she said, Lord, I want it to be in a way that you get all the glory. No man can take any glory. And so they didn't put the shots in her eyes. So doctors can't get no glory out of this. You know, thank God for the doctors. And but sometimes God wants to do it himself. And then she was able to come, and it was all God. You know, it was all God. And then that evening, we have a lady. You could be sitting closer as I am for you, and she'd be, huh, huh? Aww. She couldn't hear. And this was after service. We were all leaving. A lot of the people had already left. But, you know, I always say in church, a lot of times, God will really move after all the people are gone. And the very few that are staying behind, you know, he'll work with. And the Lord said, I'm restoring her hearing. And we had her up at the very front, and we had a gentleman at the back. And he just started talking in his normal voice, and all of a sudden she could hear him. And she just began praising God. And so there's a reason that God had me on that drive Sunday morning to get reconnected, to get back into position, to get back in place, to function in what he called me to walk in. Not just for me, but for those that he was going to send that day that needed the healing, that needed the deliverance. And, you know, so that night when I was back on fire, I was just, and I told him, I said, here the enemy had us almost to the place of burned out, you know, tired, weary. I said, now I'm back to my old self. I'm ready to go bust the gates of hell wide open and kick some demon butt. Amen. And so, but only God could do that. And, you know, we want to talk just a moment. Like we said, there are people that are wanting to give up. People wanting to, you know, just pack their bags up. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, they get a mentality that, well, I'm not the pastor. You know, I'm not important. I'm not a men's ministry leader, a woman's ministry leader. I'm not important. You know, I'm not in charge of the kitchen or the events. I'm not important. So they don't think they have a responsibility. And so what happens, thank you, Holy Ghost, when people don't think they have a position or a responsibility in the church, then they don't feel like they have a responsibility in the kingdom. And so I feel that. And so so they think that their only responsibility is just showing up and sing the songs, listen to the message, put the money in the offering plate and go home. You know, and I've heard people say, well, I'm not the pastor. I don't stand up there and preach. You know, I'm not. And so they think that they're less important. And I tell them all the time, I say, it don't matter. I said, the true ministry starts on the outside. This, what happens on the inside is supposed to equip us that we can go out and do the real ministry. And so people see the fascination in, you know, on the inside, but it's not, that's not the real ministry is what goes on the outside. And it's like I tell them, I said, you can reach people I can't reach. You can go places I can't go, and vice versa. And so everybody is important in the kingdom of God, not just the pastor, not just the leaders.
Amen. I want to touch on that for a minute. For me, growing up, my mama drugged me. She drugged me to church. And
My mama drugged me with Benadryl and Dimetapp.
Oh, come on. Well, my mama drugged me to church.
Amen.
And for me, going, you know, as a little girl and growing up, I put pastors on this pedestal.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just had this twistedness that pastors were perfect. Oh, yeah. You yeah. know, when they yeah. talked, oh, it was angels yeah. sing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I learned that only God is to be put on that pedestal. Pastors are men and women.
Yes.
They're not God.
They're not God.
And their duty and responsibility is to take care of the sheep, is to tend the sheep that God assigned them.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, they are to get down with them and teach them
yes.
how to be the body of Christ.
Yes.
How to be the church. How to go out
go.
And be the church. Because they, you know, and the Lord's been really working with me on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love my pastors, Dwight and Sharon Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
They're my spirit mom and dad.
Amen.
God knew what he was doing when he put me with them.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because
I
they...
love them people.
Yeah, Dwight had to tell me some pretty hard truths.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, ooh, sister, you got some stinking thinking going down.
Yeah.
You need some renewal of that mind. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, now I'm able, I'm equipped, okay, I'm equipped yeah. to share.
That's it.
And, you know, in hopes of bringing other people in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And for me, I used to really dread church.
Mm-hmm.
I swore I would never go because there was a misrepresentation of God.
Mm-hmm.
So to put a pastor on a pedestal,
Yeah. I always... Well, and the thing about if they don't feel a responsibility, it goes into all areas. Even like you said, the witness in the ministry, you know, they get the mentality of, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't preach behind the pulpit, so I don't have to minister. But the Bible says the sheep beget sheep. It doesn't say the shepherd goes out and begets mm-hmm. the sheep, which we do. But, you know, it's the sheep mm-hmm. that beget sheep. You know, and so... Everybody has to know that they're needed. They're important.
You have a part to play.
Yes.
In the body of Christ.
Yes.
The body is made up of several parts.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I may only be this little joint here in this little finger, or I may be just the knuckle and the big toe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm gonna be the best.
Mm-hmm.
That I can. Yeah. I'm going to do my best to stay in line
mm-hmm.
and move when it's my time to move.
Yeah. You know, my spiritual father, Apostle James Newton out of Lawton, and he'll be here April 1st and 2nd at our church, but walks in such an anointing that people look at him as God, you know? Mm. And, you know, when you walk in anointing, you know, and we don't brag on ourselves because without God, we're nobody. But we walk in that similar anointing where we see deliverances, where we see healings and miracles. And people will do that, you know, to you. They think you're God. They think you're just, you know. And I tell people all the time, don't look at me like that. Don't put your pastor on such a pedestal that if they were to fall, mm-hmm. it would cause you to fall.
Come on.
That if they were to fall, it would destroy you. You know, we're men and women too. The anointing don't come from us. It comes mm-hmm. from God.
Amen.
And so, you know, I hate when people look at you like you're God. That's the one thing, you know, I hate about it. You know, I tell them I'm a man too. I'm, this is flesh, you know?
Yeah.
And,
you mean to tell me you put your shoes and socks on one at a time too?
Yes.
You can't just snap in there on there?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
okay. You cut me, okay. I bleed. Pinch me, I cry.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's news flash.
Right.
Don't want to shock you there. But but everybody's important.
Yes.
Everybody's important. And this is why we have to stay connected in this hour. Is 1 Corinthians 12. Says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Mm. The devil ain't going to make nobody say Jesus is Lord.
Come on.
Amen. You know, it's the Spirit of God that, or, you know, nobody's filled with the Spirit of God saying Jesus is cursed. You know, it's the Spirit of God that, you know, through which we speak Jesus is Lord. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Mm. That's why we all have to stay connected in the season, is because we're all important. He says to one he gives this, to one he gives those. You know, some people may have more than one. You know, I walk in prophecy, I walk in the word of knowledge and healing and miracles. One thing that one of the gifts I love, but I don't operate it in, is interpretation of tongues. Mm. There's been a few times that he's given me an interpretation, but that's not my normal everyday operation. But there's people out there that are, you know, and God, that's why we have to stay in our own lane, in our own place, because it says he distributes each one individually as he wills, not what we will. So many times there's so much jealousy concerning the gifts. You know, why do I walk in the gift of knowledge? I want to walk in prophecy. Or why do I walk in prophecy? I want to walk in the working of miracles. Or I want to be a tongue interpreter. And so, but rather than being what, rather than desiring to be what God made somebody else, why don't we desire what God made us to be? Why don't we walk in the gifts that he called us to walk in? If he, you know, if he gave you, if you walk in prophecy, be the best you can. If you, if it's interpretation of tongues, whatever your gifting is, your gift is needed, because there's no greater gift than any other. Prophecy is not greater than working of miracles. You know, word of knowledge isn't any better than speaking in tongues. They're all the same, and they work together, working together. And so, just like, you know, somebody may speak in tongues, then a person comes behind and interprets it. And so, you know, prophecy and healing and miracles often work together. And so that's why, you know, we can't say, well, So here's going to be another shocker. Just because you don't have a pulpit ministry, just because you're not in charge of a men or women's group or whatever, doesn't mean you don't have the gifts. You have the gifts, but the pulpit ain't your place. You have a gift, but the men's and women's ministry ain't your place. You have the gifts for your place, which may be out on the streets. It may be at your job. It may be wherever God called you to function at. But just because you don't have a pulpit ministry don't mean you don't have a gift. So it's important that you know that you have a gift, learn your gift, and focus on functioning in the gift that God called you. And that's why it's so important to be everybody in place, because it says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. And so that's the mentality we talk about. If I'm not a pulpit minister, then I'm not part of, you know, then I'm not part of what's going on. Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body. Is it not for the reason any the less be a part of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. Is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. So he places you according to the gift that he's given you. And so if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Oh, now here we go. Not only can you not desire to be what somebody else, God has called somebody else to be, but you can't think that you're everything.
Come on.
And that you can't think that you're the I, me. Because like we just said, I don't have the gift of interpretation. You have to know that there's some that you may not have, the things that you do. And so you can't get that mentality. I don't need anybody else. God don't need anybody else. He just needs me. That'll put you in a dangerous place.
Yeah, well.
We all need one another. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Those are two things you see in the church right now. You can have a member of your church suffering, and it don't affect the rest of the body. Oh, I'll pray for you. I'll keep you lifted up. But that's as far as it goes. We keep on going after me. We feel sorry for them. Compassion has been replaced with sympathy. Ooh, hell. You know, back when I was rodeoing, you know, if you ever got hit by a bull, you know, you have this big old bruise. And I can always remember my mom saying, you choose that. Don't come looking for sympathy here. You know, we all want sympathy, but want somebody to feel sorry. But, you know, we've replaced love and compassion with sympathy. I sympathize for what they're going through, but I don't have the compassion to do anymore. Because I got to take care of me. I got to focus on me. Same thing if somebody gets blessed. We see God bless somebody, and we don't want to say thank you, Jesus, and rejoice with them. We want to get mad and upset and jealous. Why them, God?
Where's mine?
Where's mine? Yeah. Why are you blessing them?
Yeah.
They just got blessed last week and the week before. When's it going to be my turn? But the moment God blesses us, then we wonder why. Well, why ain't you rejoicing with me? Why ain't you excited for me? You know? And so flesh is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
And now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? And all do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greatest gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And so we have to stay connected, because we have to know that we're needed. When we know that we're needed, we have to know where we're needed and how we're needed. What has God given you individually? What gifts has he given you? What he has given you is going to let you know where he's placed you. Be the best that you can be in that place, in that commission. Be the best you can be. Don't try to be somebody else, mm-hmm. because nobody can do what God calls you to do any better than you can. And you can't do somebody else's job any better than they can, because God gave that to them. He gave what he gave you to you. So be the best that you can in there. If you're a hand, don't try to be a nose. If you're a toe, don't try to be a arm. You know, I told them somebody here a while back, I said, if somebody got in an accident and the doctors had to cut their nose off, and they showed up back to church with a hand where there used to be a nose, are you going to walk up to them and be like, oh, that looks good. Wow, they did an awesome job. Man, you can't even tell. No, you're going to be trying not to look at them, because you're going to be laughing or going, what in the world? You know, man, what's wrong with them? Why? Because that's the place that the nose goes, mm-hmm. not a hand. The hand can't function the same way that a nose does. What God gives you comes with the DNA, comes with the blueprints to know how it's supposed to function. So if you try to be something that you're not, guess what? You won't be able to function, because that's not what God calls you to be. You don't have the blueprints, the instructions to operate in that area. So the only way that it would look normal is if they put a, you know, if you still had a nose. Same way with your hand. What would we think if there was a foot on our hand? Or a hand or our feet? It would look out of place. It wouldn't function the same. It may be taking up missing space. But I can't grab things with my feet. Mm. Some people can't. But I mean, you know, normally just day-to-day activities. And so I want to encourage you today. Stay connected. Stay connected. Don't let the enemy disconnect you from the life source. Don't let him disconnect you from the power source. Know that you are needed. Know that you have to. You may be tired. You may be in a place where, man, this ain't me. But don't give up. You will not throw in the towel. You will not surrender. You will keep going. One thing Apostle Newton said when he was down there a couple weeks ago at Lawton, he said, some of y'all are tired. He said, but it's not you that took the hit. It's what God has on you that's taken the hit. And so that's true. The enemy's trying to bombard what God has in you. But know that you are important. Know that you have to stay connected, not just for you, but you have to stay connected for others, because others need what God has placed in you. And so find that place. Focus on that place and be the best vessel in that place that you can be. But above all, stay connected.
Amen. I want to share something. I don't want to share it, but I'm going to, because I was told to. So I'm just going to do it anyway. Grr. God makes me growl sometimes, but it's okay. It's okay because he still loves me. You know, talking about being the body of Christ, you know, I got a call a while back last year. Yes, last year. It was last year. A couple years ago, actually, I got a call to go work for a gentleman, a guy, out in Lone Wolf. Okay. That's okay. 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 Yes, sir. Okay. So I got a call to go work for someone out in Lone Wolf. Uh-huh. And it's a farmer guy who got tangled up in some trickery from one of his friends. So I ended up going to work for a little bit, and then I quit working because it was just real icky. But I didn't stop my spiritual work. I still stood in the gap for him and with him.
Amen.
And he was, yes, sir. He was a marijuana farmer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he got into that due to a friend. Okay. And he seen that it wasn't what his friend said it was. And so he wanted out and he wanted his land back. Wow. So I stayed really close with the Lord and did a lot of interceding and stuff for him. Mm. And he was battling with his relationship with the Lord. He was in a struggle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He had become discouraged. That's and exactly what you're yeah, he about. Yeah, he was literally in that spot. Mm-hmm. And the last time I got called out there, first thing is, Lord, do I go? Because I ain't going unless you tell me to go. And if you tell me to go, I know that I'm going in your authority. You're commissioning me to go and do your work. And we went. And the Lord gave me instruction when we got, I mean, I went there, I was going blind. And we got on the property, we got out to the marijuana farm, out in the field, hundreds of plants. And the Lord told me exactly what to do and told me the prayer to pray. And what he had me do was do the same thing. He showed me some stuff that we were dealing with. And then he told me, when I got there and I'm face to face with the farmer, okay, and he says, okay, I want you to come over here and I want you to do what y'all did in Indianapolis. It's that kind of battle.
Wow.
And I'm like, yes, sir. So I told the landowner, the farmer, I said, sir, now this may sound a little strange. This may sound a little weird, but this is the instruction I got. Yeah. So, would you, you know?
Yeah. And the things of God would always sound weird to those that aren't
followers. Would you join me in doing what the Lord had instructed me to do here right now? And he looked at me and he said, what is it? And, you know, and he's like, yeah, I'll do it. What is it? And I'm like, okay, so he told me we got to do what we did in Indianapolis.
Wow.
And in Indianapolis, we had, my mother actually had a demon present himself.
Oh, wow.
To her. She could see it. Mm-hmm. She could see it. Yeah. So that's the kind of stuff we was dealing with. And I'm like, well, get on her knees in a circle, hold hands, and I've got the prayer to pray to get rid of the spirits that are encamped on your property. Yep. And we did it. Today, that man is free.
Amen.
He's got his property back.
Amen.
The person is gone from his property. and he is no longer farming marijuana.
Amen. Glory to God.
So don't ever think that you're not part. I mean.
Yeah. And don't ever think that if you get disconnected that you can't get reconnected.
Right. You know, and the Lord, he was like, yeah, you're my hips. You move when I say move. And I'm just like, oh, thanks, Lord. You're so cool.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you don't know what part of the body of Christ you are, ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a home church, I want to encourage you to ask God for one. If you don't have spiritual parents, ask God for them. Yeah. He will. And he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always hear people say, well, I don't know my purpose. And I always say, well, then you ain't talked to God. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, God, just give me my, tell me my purpose. Well, spend a little time with him. He will.
Amen.
He will.
Would you like to pray to it? To move us out.
Amen. Father God, we're just so thankful for this time that we got to share this morning. We thank you for Monica. We thank you for Angel over there, man, in the iPad today, Lord. Thank you for his work for your kingdom this morning. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we're thankful that this is the most powerful hour of our day, and that it will carry us through the next 23 hours of our day till we are in this place again. But Lord, we just thank you for all the people that are listening, Lord. We just thank you for everything that you're doing in the lives of your people. And we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I hear some, I'm too old. It's too late. And I hear I'm too young. That's a lie from the pit of hell. What God has spoken over you before the foundation of the earth, I am here to tell you, his words stay. They do not have an expiration date.
Nope. Hallelujah.
You're not too late, and you are not too young.
Or too old. Hallelujah.
You just ain't. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Angel, and from Apostle Casey Elliott, y'all have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will all see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.